We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In 1 John chapter 1, St. John tells us that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins in the silence of our hearts. And now, let us confess together as a community of faith. Lord God, your word is truth and life. I confess my sinfulness to you. You tell us that if we confess our sins, you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I come before you with a humble heart, asking for your forgiveness. I repent of my sin. Have mercy on me and help me to change. Cleanse me, Lord, and I will be clean. Heal and restore me the joy of my salvation, and renew a right spirit in me. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in humble obedience, went to the cross for your sake. He has taken your sins upon himself, and through his blood you have been rescued and healed. As a called and ordained minister of the church, I declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The message of Jesus was clear and urgent. He told everyone, it is time to change your life. God's kingdom is here. And then our Lord Jesus went out and chose his disciples and shared a command and a promise. The command, follow me. And the promise, I will make you fishers of men. You and I are given that same command and that same promise. Our reading is from Matthew chapter 4. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called to them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Will you please join me in prayer? Gracious Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for the gift and work of your Holy Spirit. Pour your Holy Spirit into each and every one of us that we may not only hear your word and understand it, but take it to heart and have our lives changed forever. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. One of the great things about anything you read with Jesus, we know that there's all kinds of commands, right? He tells us to do things. But as we enter into this conversation about what it means to be called as a disciple, one of the things to understand is that when Jesus commands something, he always gives us the ability to obey the command. He doesn't give the command without giving the way to keep it. And it's through the power and work of the Holy Spirit that he promises this. And it is part of the beauty of what we're going to see today. And what we're told is that after Jesus, as he was with his, you know, early on with his disciples, he's seeing them from afar, but he's going to approach them today in our text. And he has just been baptized. He has just been driven out in the wilderness. He has just passed all of those temptations by Satan in the wilderness. And we're told that in verse 17 of Matthew chapter 4, we're told that from that time, Jesus began to preach. And here's his basic message, which is summarized in just a few words. He starts out with the word repent, which means change direction, completely do a turnaround. And it's, you know, I laugh because, you know, some people, you know, when they repent, they do a 360. What's the problem with doing a 360 if you want to change something in your life? Well, I'm heading this way. I realize it's wrong. So I'm gonna change, and I do this. What's wrong with that picture? Repent is to do a 180. To have not only a change of direction for your life, but a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of soul. And again, when Jesus gives that command, he gives us the ability to do it. He's not giving us an impossible thing. Well, let me put it this way. It is impossible without his help. You and I on our own cannot simply do that and have a life transformed without his help and guidance. But he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what he's saying is, the kingdom of this world, this is the realm of sin, death, and the power of the devil. It is the realm of the fall. It is the realm of broken lives. It is the realm of broken relationships. It is the realm of broken hearts. But the kingdom of heaven comes and breaks in. And the kingdom of heaven is embodied in Jesus, embodied in his message, embodied in himself. And where he goes, there are healed hearts. Where he goes, there are healed bodies. Where he goes, there are healed souls. You know, some of the very first miracles in the Gospels are Jesus healing souls, casting out demons from people. Healed souls. And we see that march of his throughout the Gospels. And it begins right here. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That healing is come into this world. And do you want to be a part of that? That's the question. Do you want to be a part of that healing of this world, or simply go along with its harmful, broken, messed up ways? And what Jesus is doing is inviting all people into that healing and transformation of the world. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then we're told in verse 18, okay, there's going to be, something is going to be going on here to make this all happen. And we're told that while walking by the Sea of Galilee, so this is in the northern part of Israel, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and for those of you who don't know, it's that guy drowning in the water there, okay? That's much later. He's not drowning. Why? Because Jesus has him by the hand. So he sees Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Now, is being a fisherman a... did you have to go to university to become a fisherman? No. Nope. Are these the most highly educated people in Israel? Nope. These are folks, now you did have to have an education because when you took on a job like this, dad taught you, or an uncle, or somebody else. You sat at their feet. Actually, you never sat at their feet because you were constantly doing with them. You learned the trade from them, and it was an apprenticeship, and they learned, and they were they were doing the job now. They had been trained and they were doing the job. They were fishermen and they were casting a net into the sea. This is not the fun, you know, take your rod and reel and go. This was the hard work of providing food for your table. And then verse 19, and Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, we need to parse this out because there's a command here, right? What's the command? Two words. Follow me. All right, remember what we said, that Jesus doesn't give a command without giving the heart to do it and the will and the ability to do that through the Holy Spirit. So he says, follow me. And here's the other part of this. The only way you're going to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, which in this case is being a fisher of men, and that man, the word man there is the generic term for human beings. The only way you're going to become a fisher of men, a disciple of Jesus Christ, is if you do what? What are the two words? Follow me. Unless you follow Jesus, you can't become a disciple. Now, here's the other beauty of this. Now, you might think, I don't know how to become a disciple. I don't know what's all involved with that. That sounds like a university education. Guess what? Well, there's an apprenticeship involved in that. There's some learning. There's some skill. But you know who makes it happen? What does Jesus say? I will do what? Make you. Who's the one that's going to be working on you? Yes, that's his promise. He says, if you follow me, I'm going to be at work in you. I'm going to be working your life so that you can be a disciple who makes other disciples. You can apprentice other disciples, and you won't be making them my followers. I'll be making you, but I'm going to be using you to do it. And here's one of the most remarkable passages in this part of the Gospels in verse 20. Immediately, and I'll tell you, Mark uses this, and you're going to see this when we do our Gospel of Mark reading series through the summer. We start June 1st. The first word here is immediately, and that word is used like 40 times in Mark. That's why we're calling this Jesus on the move, because it is constantly, he's constantly on the move. And immediately they do what? They leave their nets and what? Follow him. And then there's more, as they say. Verse 21, and going down from there, Jesus saw the two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. What was their job? Fishermen. And he called to them. And what did they do? They, verse 22, immediately left their boat and their father and followed him. So let me ask you this. Are they full-fledged disciples yet? Are they fully committed followers of Jesus? Well, it's kind of a trick question. Here's the thing. They left and they took the step. What's that first part? What Jesus says, the two words, follow me. And they were doing it, weren't they? And now Jesus is saying, and I will make you. Does that sound like a one and done sort of thing, or does that sound like a process? It's a process. I have a Canadian friend that would say, and that's the process, okay? That's the process. Now, let's go on because there's more. Because we know that from there, Jesus went on throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the kingdom of the gospel of the kingdom. And here's the thing, remember that restoration? And healing every disease and every affliction among the people. This is what you get to be a part of, he said. He shows his disciples. And that's what he shows you. You want to be a part of the healing of the nations? You want to be a part of the healing of the afflictions of the human heart, then follow me and learn from me. Now, we got to talk about discipleship, because as we look at this, Jesus says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What we're learning is that we are designed to be disciples who make disciples. We go out, it just doesn't stop with us. And you know, that was the way of the trades in those days. If you were going to be a fisherman, you needed to train other fishermen. Otherwise, where does that skill go in a generation? It's gone. And so here are three characteristics of that process of discipleship. First of all, a disciple is one who knows Jesus. You know what? If you're following Jesus, you're going to get to know him. The second thing is that your heart is being changed by Jesus. You're being transformed by Jesus. Because frankly, to know Jesus and come to know him in a deep, heartfelt way and to love him, is also, you can't avoid it. You're going to be changed. And finally, the number three is you're going to be committed to the mission of Jesus. You're going to be committed to what he's committed to. Now, here it is again. Come follow me. Remember that disciple. Here's this first one. He knows Jesus, or she knows Jesus, and goes where Jesus goes. Is it hard? Think about this. He says, follow me. And you say, okay, I'll follow you. And then you say, well, Jesus, I'm not sure I like the direction you're going. Jesus is going over there going, I thought you said you were going to follow me. Yeah, but I don't like it over there. What happens? Jesus is doing the work. And you're standing here twiddling your thumbs because you don't want to go that way. And the risk is what? Then he's going to go places you don't want to go. Let me ask you, as you know, those of you that know the unfolding of the gospel, did Jesus go to places that the disciples were uncomfortable with? Did he share teachings that they really struggled with? Yes. And Jesus ends up on the cross, right? But all along, he is loving and serving, and he's dishing out forgiveness and healing. And those disciples, their hearts are transformed. But you know what? It's not until the resurrection of Jesus where they finally are going, oh. And it's not until the resurrection of Jesus, you know, because Jesus goes to the cross. They didn't want to go there. And in fact, Peter's hiding. He's denying he even knows Jesus. One of the disciples even betrays Jesus because we don't want him to go that way. But after the resurrection, after the Holy Spirit is breathed into them, all of them to a person say, now I know, and now I'll follow, even unto death. And I will serve, and I will love, and I will care, and I will sacrifice, because now I know. But it was only Jesus who could change them, only Jesus that could do that, and to give them the heart for that. And so there's that point when Jesus says, I will make you a disciple, knows Jesus and goes where Jesus goes, but is changed by Jesus as well. It's that confession that we make that says, Jesus, I understand now. You're in control. You are the one. And you're the one that's going to equip us, equip me through your Holy Spirit, that you're going to transform me, and that transformation of this world is going to come through your actions in me out in this world. And it's going to change my life forever. And finally, that fishers of men. When we are in that role of being a fishers of men, we are on mission. We are in the game. We are participating. The great thing is, I don't know about you, but there were times in sports that I had to spend some time on the bench. And I desperately wanted to get in the game. But there were other people that were better than me. And the coach was like, well, you can get in there eventually, you know, and so if we're ahead by 20 points, then you get in, right? But the great thing is with Jesus, he says, nope, there's no bench. There's no bench. Y'all are in the game. And I will use you. I will help you. And so as we participate, we need to understand that we're not there. You know, there's no such thing as simply waiting for the fish to jump in the boat. I have a little picture here. So let's take a look at that. There's our preacher, one of our preachers there. And look at those fish. What's going on there? Those are some really nice bass, too, by the way. You gotta, yes, and they are coming in. But we got a little better picture. Here's a little picture of it. And here's my question. Is this how it works? No. No, but sometimes we think that, you know, if we just, you know, there's this movie, Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. And it's sort of like if you build a great program, if you do this, if you do that, all these people are going to come. It'll be like fish jumping in the boat. In fact, I want you to look at the ceiling here for a moment. Look at how the slats are. Have you ever noticed this? What does that look like? It's like a boat. It's like you're inside a boat. And there's the keel of the boat. That's no accident. It's one of the reasons churches are designed like this. We are on a journey. But you know what? If we think that just by building it, that all these people are going to come to faith and just jump in the boat like this, we're sorely mistaken. That's not how God designed us. You know, I don't know if you've been to different places around the world, especially in Europe. And there's some magnificent, this is a beautiful sanctuary, but these incredible sanctuaries, ancient, really by our standards. How full are they on a Sunday morning? They're in echo chambers. Just because you have the ship doesn't mean the fish are going to jump in. Jesus says, there's something more. We cannot just wait. We're told in Matthew 28, verse 18, this is some of the last instructions that Jesus shares with his disciples. He says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, do what? Go. And what? Make disciples of all nations. And he goes on to explain what that means, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything. And then he does this. Remember, he says, I never give a command, because that sounds like a command, right? Go and make disciples of all nations. How impossible is that for us personally, under our own strength? Absolutely impossible. So what does Jesus do? The very last words in Matthew's gospel account. Jesus gives the command, but then he gives the promise. And here's the promise, verse 20. And surely, in fact, let's read this together. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. There's the promise. I will make this happen. So back quickly to those definitions of a disciple. It's one who's committed to following Jesus, one who's committed to being changed by Jesus, and one who's committed to joining the mission of Jesus to transform and heal the world. I mentioned the Holy Spirit. I want to mention it one more time. In Acts chapter 1, we're told that this is Jesus. As he is getting ready, this is Ascension Sunday, actually, where we celebrate the ascension of Jesus. But as he's getting ready to ascend into heaven, he makes this promise and he reassures them of this gift. Remember, all of these commands, go out and make disciples, change the world for me, in me and through me. And Jesus says to his disciples, but you will receive what? Power when the what? Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. And you know what? Those disciples, when that Holy Spirit came, they were willing to follow, even to death. But here's the thing. Remember the fish jumping in the boat? Here's the last picture. That's our calling. That's our calling. And you know what's beautiful about this? You have this account in the Gospel of John where the disciples have been out fishing on their own all night long, which was the time to fish. They have been throwing that net, dragging that net, pulling it in. No fish, not a one. Remember, because they're trying to do it on their own strength. And Jesus just says one thing. They're already pulling the nets in for the day. He says, put out on the other side of the boat. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? It's like, come on, Jesus. But you know what? What's amazing is, because they're followers of Jesus, they do it. And you know what kind of haul they had? A miraculous catch that there's no way they could have done it. No way. There's no way we can make this kingdom come together. There is no way that we can grow the church throughout this community and throughout the world. We can't do it, but we can participate and heed God's will, heed God's word, and he will make it happen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, and we praise you that you use us as your disciples to haul them in, but it is not us. Pour out your Holy Spirit into each one of our hearts that we may experience the joy of hauling in that load and making disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you and invite you to make your presence known in our hearts and in the community. Fill us with your wondrous gifts. We ask all these things in the name above all names, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And everything that remains unsaid, we put into the words that you yourself have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, God's children, receive God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing our final song.
Rise up, O saints of God, from vain ambitions turn. Christ rose triumphant that your hearts with nobler zeal might burn.
Ended. We leave to live out God's call. May we go to be and make disciples. And remember, he's with you always.
Even till the end of time.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.